Hello, everybody. Hello, I'm George from Ireland. So I'm talking about the elections to Scottish Parliament. And is it this the 7th one they've ever had? Yeah, what is it? Labour one, was it two? Yeah, no, no, five. So yeah, it's the 7th one. The Scottish National Party winning a record 5th election. So John Swinney, First Minister of Scotland, he was seen as a bit of a lame duck, took over after the fairly disastrous Hamza Yousaf administration. And remember, Swinney, he was leader of the party 2000, 2004, but was pushed out after disappointing election results. He stayed in politics, had major cabinet portfolios, and now he's back as leader. So he's had a second wind. And, a year ago, it looked like Labour was finally going to come back in Holyrood, but they haven't. And the SNP, are well ahead of them, but short of a majority. Remember, there are 129 members of the Scottish Parliament, so 65 required for majority. The Scottish National Party's got only 58, but that's far ahead of Labour on 17. So the SNP have even lost a few seats. They're six down. They were just one shy of a majority beforehand. But one of the big takeaways, one of the unexpected things, is Reform United Kingdom did not come second. People thought that they would be well behind the SNP, but definitely ahead of Labour. And Labour and the sort of Reform United Kingdom Party, they're tied on 17 members of the Scottish Parliament each. Just behind them, obviously, the Scottish Green Party on 15 MSPs, that's up six. So they've got a significant presence. Remember, the Scottish Greens, they had a coalition with the SNP for a few years. They judged that to have been a failure. So one of the questions is, how is the SNP going to govern as a minority party? Are they going to seek to coalesce with somebody else? Labour, they perceive as their main foe, so won't go to bed with them. Reform UK, they absolutely revile. Conservatives, they think they're a failure. They don't want to be associated with them. The Scottish Greens are a possibility, but the Greens might say no. So the Conservatives, they can't boast because they're down to only 12 SNPs. They've lost 19 members of the Scottish Parliament. That's actually the biggest loss of any party. And proportionally, it's a huge loss. So they've lost close to two-thirds of their MSPs. So that's not looking good for Mrs. Badenoch or indeed the leader of the Scottish Conservative and Unionist Party. And then coming on to the Liberal Democrats, the Lib Dems are up six. They've only got 10 SNPs, so members of the Scottish Parliament. So would the Scottish Liberal Democrats, would they coalesce with the SNP or offer them confidence and supply? That'd be enough to have a majority. As in, if there were a motion of confidence, they would vote yes, confidence of the government, they'll vote for the budget, but they weren't guaranteed to vote for any other legislation. They could vote for it, they could vote against it, depending on what it is. But Mr. Swinney has said that he is open to negotiating with all parties except Reform UK. Fascinatingly, even the Conservative Party, I cannot see a deal coming off there. All right, so that's been quite big news. The Scottish Conservatives doing well in southern Scotland, as they usually do, slightly in Aberdeenshire. Labour somewhat in the cities. Scottish Greens look where there are lots of young graduates and so forth. The SNP kind of the middle, the countryside, not the very rural areas. That's more one way or other, either Liberal Democrats in the very north of Scotland or very southern Scotland Conservatives. An Éileann an Yar and Héileann an Yar, the Western Isles, the Liberal Democrats have lost that to the SNP in a surprise move. A lot going on for the Scottish Parliament. Yeah, so I mean, the Reform UK, that's a very credible first outing, but they didn't do quite as well as many people thought. I remember there's this complex system whereby you've got two votes on two different ballot papers. You vote therefore on what is it? You vote for your constituency MSP. There's one first past the post system. They put about eight constituencies are going to make a region, and then a few are elected for each region, and it's somewhat proportional on a separate ballot paper. You have one vote for one party, yeah, and the party will rank about five people, yeah, and you can't choose the order of the people, yeah. So if you vote, you could vote SNP for your constituency, you could vote Liberal Democrat for your region, or you could vote Labour for your constituency, Labour for your region, as you want. You could use any one of those two votes as you wish. How the party ranks the people for the region, that's what really makes a difference. And the Greens, they've actually got people elected for constituencies. Previously, they only ever had regions. So this really helps the minor parties. If it was only constituencies, then the Scottish National Party would have a very healthy majority. Okay, and remember that Labour won at Westminster level in Scotland not even 2 years ago, quite handily. One was it 36 members of Parliament, whereas the Scottish National Party won only 10. So it seems that John Swinney is safe as Labour leader. Now, Anas Sarwar, that Glaswegian dentist, who was the leader of Scottish Labour, and he's been publicly castigating Sir Keir Starmer. He said he privately asked him to step aside several months ago. Starmer persistently refused. Starmer said, well, I was obliged to go public. The only way we could do well for the whole United Kingdom, but particularly for Scotland. So he's scapegoating Starmer. Wait a second. Starmer wasn't a candidate this election. This is an election about issues decided at Holyrood. In fairness, the voters don't compartmentalise. And I've seen this. In the local elections, they bring up Westminster issues. In Westminster elections, they bring up issues which are handled by the local authority. But Starmer, therefore, was something to do with this part, with this defeat of the Labour Party in Scotland. But who's primarily defeat? And that is their North British leader. That is Mr. Sarwar himself. Who's really got to carry the gun, who's really got to go, is him. And he's been in charge for several years. So he should resign. He cannot control whether Starmer resigns or not. Anas Sarwar is not even a member of Parliament at Westminster. But Sarwar can control whether he himself resigns. Clearly, he has failed. This is an emphatic rejection, so people didn't vote for change. It's a bit rich when, say, the SNP's so-called people divisive, Reform UK. The SNP's divisive. They want to divide the United Kingdom. They want partition. So that's very, very, very bad as well. That a lot of racist rhetoric out of separatist supporters. Now, so Reform UK, they weren't helped by their leader bragging about his millionaire, how much of a multimillionaire he is with his six houses and six yachts. Malcolm Offord, Lord Offord, who was actually put in the House of Lords as a Conservative. Goodness. So what do you think? Should Sarwar go? John Swinney, what's he going to do now? Because the Scottish National Party was seen to be failing on multiple policy areas a few years ago. Education, crime, you know, the economy, by almost any metric. And they pulled a rabbit out of the hat, partly helped by the unpopularity of Labour. Will they call another referendum on splitting up the United Kingdom? I mean, probably not. Well, the Supreme Court said, no, you can't without permission of Westminster. The Labour government at Westminster said, we'll never allow that. You had that in 2014. That was for all time. That issue is done and dusted. We're not doing it again. And maybe people get fed up with that. And actually, it looks like they lose. And they probably lose by a bit more than they had in 2026 in a very uncertain world. Not to embark on this reckless moonlight steeplechase. So what do you think? Why did the Scottish National Party manage to win a record fifth election in a row? They've been in office for 19 years. Yeah, this is going to take it up to 24. That's a whole generation of years of them in office. What can the Labour Party do to come back in Scotland? They ruled the roost from the 1950s to the 2000s. They won everything in Scotland at every level. And they had took a stumble in 2007, assuming they'd soon be back, and it hasn't happened. So people have the habit of voting Labour in Scotland. They've fallen out of the habit. And of course, there's a whole generation who've come to political maturity since 2007 who've never been Labour voters. So Labour cannot rely on people returning to the habit of voting that way. All right. What do you think? Should the leader of the Scottish Conservative Unionist Party resign? So an excellent day for Lord Offord and Reform UK. Not quite as brilliant as they thought. And that's one of the big takeaways. And so they're a new party, really. Apart from that, the biggest gains were for the Liberal Democrats. We're going from a tiny party to a fairly small one. So, it really is five-party politics Scotland, or maybe six-party, you're going to say, to include the Lib Dems at the smallest. But the Tories can't boast being the fifth party in Scotland. It used to be the second not long ago. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, George Cullen, 792@goodbye.